microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
This is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast.
Been a minute.
Today's special guest is Lauren Roberts. She's one of our newer teachers at Modern Yoga. And she, I was going to announce when you graduated, but.
You know how late I stayed up last night trying?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Is she one of those that has that last book report to get her certificate?
How close are you?
See how many Google Docs I have of trying to finish this.
Oh my goodness.
So Mary Beth, I don't know if you're aware of how educated this woman is.
I do know there are a number of degrees. Let's list those.
And I think it's impeding problem. Her progress of writing one simple book report.
I know. So easy. And yet I think my law degree ruined that.
You're making it taught you how to make things complicated?
Yeah. Even though actually all I learned in law school was work smart, not hard. That's all they taught you.
Oh.
Google stuff.
So you're working smart a lot.
Yeah. This doesn't feel really smart. It feels like it's taking too long. Smart would have finished this when you're like, it doesn't have to be that complicated. Correct.
Is it complicated because you want it to be so perfect, or is it because it's subject matter that's sort of in your heart, not just material?
100% perfectionism. So I literally got through undergrad, grad school with anxiety, just fueled by anxiety. I had undiagnosed ADHD. So I just fueled by anxiety and late nights and caffeine pills. We took caffeine pills.
I remember back in the day, that was a thing.
Like, what do they call it? Like truck speed or truck driver speed or something. It was weird. Yeah. So yes.
On that, how do you feel? I keep seeing headlines about Adderall.
Yeah. It's really hard. I have a lot of clients right now, a lot of my therapy clients who are trying to get on a stimulant. And a lot of doctors are really hesitant to prescribe because they don't want to here, try this thing. And it works really well. And now you can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now you have to live without it for weeks, months. The only one right now that's affordable is Vyvanse because it doesn't have a generic. Not affordable. The only one available constantly is Vyvanse because it's not affordable because there is no generic. So it's hundreds of dollars.
So let's back up a little bit for the podcast, our international podcast audience. So talk about your education just for a bit, because that's kind of where we went. And you were a lawyer 2 seconds ago and then a therapist 1 second ago.
Everything. So I started, my undergrad was in Michigan. So I do the hand thing where you're like, I went to school here in my home, Albion College. I did sociology and music. I was a double, they called it a liberal arts music major, AKA you're not really going to do anything with your music major, but you like music a lot and you took a lot of classes and you can do it. So
do you play an instrument or sing or write songs?
I did. I used to play oboe and violin and baritone. Ooh, I was in marching band.
Love violin music.
8 years.
8 years.
I did all high school, all of college. And our marching band was the British Eighth, which meant we wore the giant Busby hats, like the big black hats, like the British Guards.
Yes.
Red coats.
Did you talk in an accent?
I can't.
You need to bring a beautiful violin into a Shavasana.
Oh.
There's nothing nicer than strings for a Shavasana.
That is
You'll
true.
Make the people cry. Do some hip openers, play the violin, and we'll need Kleenex for all.
Yeah.
Actually, you should bring it to Mary Beth's class and when she's teaching and just make her cry.
Yeah.
Pigeon pose.
People, somebody left crying last Wednesday, and she texted me afterwards to say that this nice tall blonde who I found to be Lisa Rich was comforting her in the parking lot. And she was very, not that she needed comforting. It was the good kind of cry, I think.
Right.
But yeah, so I did my major though was music, was vocal music. So I like singing. I did a all-female a cappella group in college. which was called Bella Voce, which was like right around, right before Pitch Perfect. So like that was my life. And they were called the Bellas in the show. So I was like, oh my gosh, it's me.
I love, love, love to sing and I don't have the vocal talent. So you just are going to need to sing for us. And
yeah,
I don't know. We don't have a modern yoga singing
karaoke.
Crew, but
maybe we will now.
Maybe we will.
We'll see. Modern yoga karaoke. I love karaoke. That's what I do now. I'm a karaoke singer. I joke. But yeah, so then I worked in like mental health and shelters and Planned Parenthood when I was in Michigan. And then I went to grad school and I went to law school and I was going to go to social work school, but I postponed. And then I kind of got very like vindicated and was like, I'm going to law school and I'm going to change the laws because that's how the laws work.
Yeah. Want more power than a social worker.
I worked with a bunch of burnt out social workers who were making only a couple grand more than me. And I had a bachelor's degree and they had like 2 years of a master's and 2 years experience. And I'm like, you're only making like, So I was like, I'm going to change. I'm going to make things better. Law school sucks. It's real bad. Wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. Like the joke is doctors want their wife to be a doctor and their kids to be doctors. And like doctors, lawyers are like, no one do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Like, don't go to law school. It's terrible. It's just like hazing and awful. So I got through my first semester and I was like, maybe we'll add the social work degree back. And so that's a 4-year instead of a 3-year program. And it was really hard because social work compared to law is like preschool. Cause they're like, let's draw a picture about how we're feeling. And law school is like, we don't care how you're feeling.
these are the letters. Yeah.
This is what the law says. I mean, I remember we were talking like Obamacare at the time and, you know, I was like, people deserve healthcare. And it's like, is that what the law says? Is that in the law? And I was like, no, I mean, people shouldn't be sick and like should have access. So it was very, two very different, but obviously they work really well together. My goal was to become a guardian ad litem, which is a advocate for children. You advocate for their, what we say, what's in their best interest. So older kids kind of have a say. And if the kids think differently, so if the guardian's like, I think you should go with mom, and the kid's like, I want dad, then you get another lawyer involved. So you can have a lawyer for the kid, a lawyer for the kid's interest, a lawyer for the parent, a guardian for the parent. So when I sit in the court, I was like, I could be any of these people. I could be a judge and I could be the social worker or the prosecutor. And then I finished up my degrees and I started really like being a therapist. So I got offered a job at the nonprofit I was working at, and I actually didn't start therapy at first. I started something they called therapeutic behavioral services, which is like life skills, and I loved it. So it's teaching teens how to like make a resume and get a job and like be a person and like grocery shop and budget.
And you know, you take for granted, those of us who grew up in any kind of quote unquote normal circumstance, these small things like that some kids have no clue, not only how to do, but that they're even supposed to.
Right.
I mean, they don't get how credit cards work. They're like, oh, I got all this money. I got a credit card. It's like, ooh, that's not how that works. And then, you know, you leave them for a week, all of a sudden they're $500 in credit card debt because they didn't get it. So yeah, our agency worked a lot with kids aging out of foster care. And like you said, Mary Beth, it's because, yeah, they don't have support. They don't have family, or the family they do have to fall back on wasn't always like the greatest, or isn't, you know, it's the kind of family where, oh, when you have money, they're great and you can come over and bring something or help them out. And then the second you need help, they're like, who are you? And they don't pick up your calls. So yeah, that was really fun. And then after doing that for a while, I did end up wanting to do therapy, which I initially never wanted to do. I was like, I'm not going to be a therapist. I won't do that. I just like want to work with people, but I don't want to actually be a therapist. And then came around. And then I got my independent license and now I do private practice because I joke, I do it from the red couch. Usually I'm at the red couch. Like a table. I have like my TV tray tables and then that gets very like, I have all my stations, but yeah, so I did that. I passed the bar. I have a law degree. I don't really use it much. I like once tried to help a friend with a traffic ticket. Didn't work very well. We were very like, we're going to get you out of this. And didn't
happen. I have a nephew who went to law school and passed the bar. I'll have to ask him what his experience was like versus what you've just described. My memory at the time is that when he passed the bar and and whatever happens, you're sworn in or whatever as a lawyer. It was during COVID. So it was all on Zoom and we could all watch, but each candidate had to, you know, click at the right time. And we were like, don't screw this up now, Zach. You got through law school, you passed the bar, and it's conceivable that you're going to screw this up by not clicking correctly. But he did okay.
He clicked okay.
Yeah, whatever they had to do.
That's awesome.
So before we talk about your practice now, you were saying you're usually on the red couch. Right now you're in what appears to be a small household jungle.
Yeah, it's a jungle. Right here's the kitchen and this is my little dining area. But
beautiful,
yeah,
plants. Yeah. I kill plants, like
I do too.
No matter what I do, I just cannot keep them alive. I don't know what the problem is.
Some are really hard. Actually, I was just looking back. So I only started plants like a year ago. When I moved back into the house, I got a bunch of plants because I was like, that's a thing. You get plants.
And I see you have some grow lights. So that's part of it, right?
They do. Yes. Because I'm working on, I'm a propagator now. So you get the little
propagation.
No, I'm only a propagator because I let this plant die. No,
but you revived it, gave it a little CPR.
Exactly. They got real stringy and then I had a snip snip and, so now we got like four really nice plants. So we're getting
awesome.
Back.
I can keep plants alive at the studios. There's
a couple. There's like the money tree or whatever.
There's the money tree. There's
ficus.
Oh my gosh. What is the
string of pearls?
The one, no, the one's the Christmas plant. Why
Christmas
can't I say
cactus?
No, it's a, that's
poinsettia?
Red.
Poinsettia. Oh, the poinsettia. Yeah. Yeah. That's one that I can keep alive longer, which is strange. It's
well, right
be
now in Strongsville, like it's red. It's like, it is.
Yeah. Blooming. Mine downstairs. I have what I call a dead plant stand because there's only like a leaf will emerge and choke, but yeah, everything else is dead.
And then the ficus tree that my aunt gave me when we opened in Strongsville that started small and now it's like taking up the whole lobby. Mm-hmm. And then we have a handful of plants in the Slow Flow studio at in Brecksville. But yeah, anything at home, well, it moves.
Well, these plants remind me that I was out walking yesterday in the Richfield Preserve before my Brecksville class, which again, another commercial for that place. If you haven't walked in that Richfield yeah. Heritage Preserve or something, oh my gosh, it's just awesome. But I was listening to Brooke Shields has a podcast called Now What? And it's a good one. They're short and they're worth listening to. But the commercials between, one of them was for a podcast that's about, I wish I could remember the name of it, but I got so annoyed with so many commercials, I started to fast forward through them. It's about like deadly plants. Ooh. Whether the plant itself is deadly or whether there's like a black market for certain kinds of plants and crime involved in that. So if you're getting into plants out there, maybe Lauren, maybe I'm thinking of if Rachel Kovach listens to this podcast ever, any plant weirdos, my friend Stephanie, maybe look for that podcast about plants. Crime and plants. It has like dun dun. It has like Law and Order music behind the commercial.
Wait, Brooke Shields or she was
no. It was a commercial that played during Brooke Shields.
Yeah. I was like, wait.
No, hers is more.
Where are we going? Is this the Blue
Hers
Lagoon?
Is more interesting to me than that would be.
Got it.
I always wondered if they survive in the hot studio, like the tropical plants.
So it's funny that you say that.
Costa Rica.
I call it the softball lily. It's the plant by the door in the Slow Flow studio. It's a peace lily that the softball teams got for my dad's funeral. And so I just really want to keep that one alive. And
funeral shit will stay alive because it makes you feel bad. True story.
But initially it was like it kept, you know, blooming. And I haven't seen anything on it recently. So I moved it from our home to the studio because with a baby and two dogs, the dogs don't really bother the plants, but the baby, she's at that height, you know, and I had it outside. I just feel like it might be more peaceful at the studio.
Oh, peace, Lily.
So I brought it to the Slow Flow studio and I thought in the wintertime, I thought maybe it would get too cold, although I read that they're very hardy. But I put it in the
You read about it. That's impressive.
Yeah. I put it in the hot studio for like a day. I put it up on top of the cubbies by the door. Mm-hmm. And when I came back like the next day, it was like pretty wilted.
Struggling.
It was like, no. But I haven't tried a tropical plant in there, and I'm sure that it might do really well.
Perhaps a bird of paradise. Is that a tropical plant? And then we could all do the bird of paradise and take pictures.
Perhaps.
Those are huge though.
Are they?
Yeah.
See, usually. that's my fear. Like, I don't want to create a monster here because it's a yoga studio. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I could see where all of a sudden, like, I have some success with something and we have this beautiful bird of paradise, and I'm like, then I can get this and let's get these five other things, you know
what we do.
And then the next thing you know, it's, you know, I have vines all over the right? on the walls of this studio.
Get a little Tarzan yell during those classes, it'd be good.
You can become a plant yoga studio. There is one, I saw it on Instagram, but I was trying to figure out, I don't think they put the plants in the hot studio. That's how I was like, is this like a giant, you know, humid? I have a lot of plants that like humidity.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a humidifier and they like heat. So
it would definitely be a great atmosphere for some plants, but
sure.
Maybe I'll bring one. We'll do a little, I got these spider babies and I think they are pretty hardy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll bring one of the, I have some in the bathroom that are already planted. We'll see if it will.
So we're seeing just a small part of your house. Do you have plants all over the house?
I was going to say the more jungle part where my dog is sitting. Let's
jungle dog.
He's the jungle dog. He's the cutest. Is over here. We got more plants.
So oh, beautiful.
Wow. Which,
love your windows.
Gosh, it looks so good. I wish I was better at plants because it really, I do think it adds to a home so much, especially with all those windows you've got.
He likes this is his little perch so he can watch.
That's nice. Lenny, isn't it?
Lenny, yes.
Lenny.
So let's talk about Lenny. Lenny's a recent addition to Lauren's
family. He is. And he's getting a foster brother next week.
How fostering goes for you.
Yeah, he was a foster. So we'll see how this goes. Yeah, I wanted to get back into fostering. I was fostering with Canine Lifeline where I got my last dog. And they get a lot of Kentucky dogs. Out of like hoarding situations.
Do they have accents? The Kentucky dogs?
Maybe. They go woof,
woof, woof. Lauren, my husband would say about you that you take in all strays, starting with your career choices and educational choices and things you've chosen to volunteer at, and now literally rescuing and fostering animals as well and plants. So I wonder what you attribute that to. Where does that calling come from? And have you were you that way since you were a child?
No.
Well, and I'm gonna step in before you answer because we touched, or Lauren touched on something that we didn't really explain. Lauren had a house fire a few years ago.
Yes.
And so she, I don't know if you noticed, she said when I moved back in. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, I love Lenny. I just wonder if all of this is part of their healing process, because that was pretty awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely. Before I had a Christmas cactus, that was like the only plant I had. And it was kind of a joke because I bought it when I was grocery shopping at Trader Joe's, the client. And she was like, you're never going to keep this alive, Miss Lauren. And I was like, I can't.
Challenge accepted.
Years. And then it died in a house fire. But, you know, it was a hardy plant until then. And then I tried to buy a Easter cactus to like when I moved back, because I thought that was very fitting. It felt very like a Christmas cactus. Now an Easter.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Rebirth or something. It's not doing so hot. It didn't bloom this year. So we're going to just, I have a lot of plants. Some are much harder, but yeah, no, this definitely became a moving back thing. They talk a lot about plants and taking care of plants. And like my clients will joke, they're like, if I'm not doing good, my plants aren't getting watered. So I'll be like, how are your plants doing? Are your plants also doing good? Or is that like the telltale sign? So you know, they have all the work about greenery and all that stuff that's supposed to be good and better air quality and oxygen. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I kind of really got into it. It's been really fun. And my parents have a greenhouse placed by them called Craniacs. And they always have like a Easter display and a Christmas display with crazy things and plants. And so I've gathered some plants across the holidays. So yeah, it's definitely been a coming back to the house, trying to make it a home, trying to get everything. It's nice to look at. I also work from home, and there's like, I was reading about this sociology thing called like the third place. You need to have your first place. Well, you have your first place, your home. Your second place is usually work. And then you have a third place. And for a long time, that was church for most people. But now not everyone goes to church, or not everyone really has like that kind of community when it comes to like religion. Mm-hmm. So for people, it can be like a yoga studio or going to the gym or rock climbing. So, but for people that work from home, it's hard because, you know.
Yeah, one and two are merged.
Yeah, now I have one place. And, you know, I'm a therapist. I can't exactly like sit in Panera and like be a therapist.
Right, right.
So
we do have that cinnamon crunchy bagel, though. I think your clients would appreciate that.
Maybe real jealous.
I appreciate watching her.
Yeah, just like eat it.
We can share. We can
put a Panera. How are you feeling today? This cinnamon crunchy bagel is amazing. Hold on a second. I need to refill my coffee.
Right. Is it a black bean soup day or not?
I've never gotten there on a black bean soup day in the longest time. I used to love their black bean soup.
I know. It's so good.
I'll be honest. I'm not liking Panera as much as I used to. No. Yeah. Like
it's expensive and there's not much. And like,
there's not much. Like their salads aren't really hearty, yeah. You know, like their salads aren't really like.
It's a different world again.
Yeah.
It's different.
For sure.
Post-COVID.
So.
Well, there's a lot to unpack here as the popular saying goes. I don't know which road we want to go down. There's the fire. There's the careers.
I just want to mention that Lenny looks very moved in.
Oh, he's.
Lenny looks comfy.
My dad jokes that he's like, he finds the coziest place in the room.
Yeah.
Like I take him to my parents' house and they have this little like kind of alcovey thing the cat usually sits in, and the cat like runs away because she's scared, and he's very like, he doesn't do anything, but she's just like, who's this? And runs off. And so he goes and like sits in her little area. He's like, oh, this is nice. There's some blankets in here. Like, dude, you're gonna get in trouble. Him and my cat Sasha she'll probably make an appearance in about 20 minutes when she's ready for second breakfast.
Second breakfast, I love it.
She's very vocal about her needs. That's what we say. But yeah, no, he's very moved in. We got him in October. Instantly, I was like, yeah, we're keeping him. This is,
I remember that.
A fail pretty quick. He's like just 20 pounds, some Chihuahua Dachshund mix, but he loves me. He's very calm. He's good with other dogs. He loves other dogs. He plays with my friend's dog Moonshine, which is like a big red golden retriever. And they're so adorable together.
Moonshine. I love it.
I know. So like, we're gonna go visit Moonshine this weekend, Lenny, you ready? And the dog, one of the dogs that I might foster is named Leonard. And I was like,
How would
that be Lenny and Leonard? The other one's name is Elmer, which is also really cute because it's white like Elmer's glue.
You might have trouble with Lenny and Leonard because they might not know who you're talking to.
That's what I was like, oh, maybe too close. We'll
see. Might have to call Leonard Leo.
Oh, that'd be cute too, though.
Yeah, that would be really cute.
Our goal is to just foster him, though. He's heartworm positive. So it's more of like a give him a place to kind of create rest. And
has he had treatment yet?
He's getting it next week.
Yeah, because that's pretty harrowing.
Yeah, it takes like, I think we have to do two treatments before they'll even like start to adopt him out because they don't test negative for like 6 months.
Wow.
So you don't really know you're out of the clear. So,
I want to throw this out there right now. We're Zooming today for the international podcast audience. And
hi, Patty.
Yes. Hi, Patty. James and I are hoping to get our house in order to put on the market in a couple of months. So, We had a realtor come in a couple weeks ago to help us decide how much effort to put into what, you know.
What, yeah.
And so we're having some things done, and he scheduled some estimates like during this podcast. So he is, you guys know James, he might just appear and say, I need you right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because Mary Beth can
hit pause.
Well, you hit pause or just keep going without me. Like, it's okay.
Chatting.
But the dog just stopped barking, so I don't know what's going on now.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
She did give James full authority to make decisions.
On his own, yeah.
On his own.
Lauren's like,
Oh, good luck.
I took James's yin sauna last night, and for the second time, I've been real proud of myself that when we do that, what does he call that thing where your arms are goalposted and you hike up one leg? It's like a
sleeping baby.
Like a sleeping baby, is it? I was thinking bad baby. All it is to me is the my left hit is smashed into the mat pose. And since James is a boy,
yeah,
or a man, depending on how you look at it, he probably isn't aware that there might be a number of ladies in the room who, for that sleeping baby pose, it's more like breastfeeding mother pose, because smashola, mammogram pose.
Mammogram pose? Yeah, there you go. You should reach out to somebody who does mammogram machines and say, I have an idea.
Yeah. And so I, out of respect for James, I contain some of these things during his class, which I'm sure he'd appreciate.
Is that how you stayed present?
That's how I stayed present. It's like, not going to ruin James's class by saying this.
If you think about that pose, it's like half frog pose, but it's mm-hmm. so different than frog. You know what I mean?
And so different than frog. And I often am in bed that way. That's like one of my go-to poses in bed.
Yeah.
Not sexual poses, just the sleeping kind.
Sleeping.
I fell asleep in sleeping baby when I went on that trip to Nepal. There was this one day where we were
always name drops this trip to Nepal to give her like this one yoga day. Chops.
No, it's not really. I fell asleep on a cement floor for like 6 hours, and I was like, I'll be fine. I'm just going to rest here.
Wow. A bunch of people was your arm asleep?
I don't remember, but I was just kind of like, here I am, sleeping baby.
Probably drooling
all over the place.
We've digressed quite a bit. You're off topic.
Right. I think we're doing all right. So Lauren, I kind of know how you came to yoga, but I'd love to hear your version of it, because it's your story.
Yeah. Well, that does wrap in house fire. So the fire happened in December 2020.
Can I pause there too? Okay, December 2020. This is now during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I live in an old house, and also we're not careful. And so a fire is one thing that is always on the fringes of my anxiety.
Do you have knob and tube wiring?
I have no clue.
Yeah, I didn't either. Turns out, as they tell me, knob and tube wiring is great until it isn't. So it wasn't. And I had smoke damage through the whole house. So like the fire started in the kitchen, the whole house just reeked of smoke damage.
Were you home?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back. And what they thought would take a few months, because again, there wasn't a lot of like, the kitchen had some physical, like, you know, damage.
But were you home at the time of the fire?
Oh, no, I was not home. I worked. So I was what do they call it? A mandated worker or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You had to go essential worker. Yeah.
Yeah, I was an essential worker. So I would still go out in the community. I'd still see kids. And that is when it happened. So I came home from work. I was like, why is my house so dark? And I was like, oh, and I saw my ceiling fan on the floor, which is like one of those images that will never, because you just never see a ceiling fan on the floor, you know? So
yeah, like takes a minute to process. Like, well, what does that mean? My ceiling fan fell down?
Black and on the floor. And yeah, that happened. And what we thought would be like, oh, a few months maybe, they eventually had to tear out like everything. We were down to the studs and like most of the house. It took over like 15 months to complete. And so how I got to yoga was my friend let me live with her when my insurance money ran out. And my friend Rachel goes to yoga. And so she would come back and I was like, what do you do every Wednesday night? And why do you look so happy? Because you're a lawyer and lawyers aren't happy. Yeah. So my friend Rachel let me live in her spare bedroom. And Wednesday night, she would usually go to yoga and she'd come back and she was like, oh, it's so great. And like, I was a therapist. I knew people go to yoga and yoga is a good thing. And she'd gone in college too, or sorry, law school too. And like, so I'd always heard her going and some other friends going. I just like never did it because I was like, fat people don't do yoga. And I was like, I don't want to be the weird fat person that doesn't know how to do yoga, trying to do yoga. But basically I was living with her, she was going, and we were hitting about a year since the fire. And I was like, things are still really bad. and nothing feels much better. And I was like, I don't know, you know, we would go to Planet Fitness sometimes. I was like, I don't know what else to do. So I literally was like, I'll go to yoga with you. All right, let's try. And she was like, do the new student special. Like, we'll go to the, like, she was like, we'll just go to the Wednesday night class, like every week this month, you know, that's worth it. We go to 4 classes. Perfect. I was like, all right, we can try it. And then I went to one and it was supposed to be your hot slow burn, Joyce, but you were getting your LASIK.
Oh, it was my cataract surgery.
Your cataract surgery. So it was Colleen. She subbed. So it was kind of funny because, like, you know, she was really trying to get me, like, oh, come on, like, you know, like, you'll love, like, you know, and like, yeah, really. And then we got there and she's like, oh, like, you'll still love it. It'll be great. And I was, and I did. It was a good class. You know, of course, it was like, wow, this is hot and hard. And I was in like a big fluffy black mat that because I was like, I have bad knees and I like, this will help. And you know, the teachers are always really nice and be like, that's probably actually making this harder for you because it's harder to balance when your mat is like an inch squishy. And I was like, oh. And so then I, you know, got a modern yoga mat and I started just going. I just went like 3 or 4 to 5 times a week if I could. And wow, I didn't stop. Like when my thing ran out and I was like, they're like, you want to buy some passes? I was like, no, we're going for gold. We're just going to go for gold.
Wow.
Going to keep doing this.
So for our international podcast audience, that gold is a renewing membership where it's just unlimited access, right? Or not unlimited, but.
Yeah. Wow. Lauren, like
an investment.
She didn't screw around with her new student special or her gold membership. And I joked with you pretty early because you came to a beginner's workshop, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, you're going to be in teacher training next.
Like, that's what's next. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I think probably the hardest thing for me is that I've only been practicing since like December 2021. So I'm not like a lot of people who've had a lot of years, even if it's like, oh, I've been YouTube or whatever, you know, like different. I'm like, yeah, I had like a Biggest Loser yoga video I once tried and like a beginner yoga video DVD at home, and neither really stuck and neither really, like, you know, left a lasting impact. So
what stuck or left a lasting impact?
I'm a firm believer of it was like the right time. I joke like, man, this would have been really nice in law school. Probably would have been really helpful to have something like this because it was a very stressful time. But like, I think it was the level of like, all right, well, you know, at the time I've worked a lot with dialectical behavioral therapy, DBT, and the founder, she's like a Zen Buddhist master. Like she incorporates a lot of like Buddhism, and like, she would also talk like, you know, some of the skills would be like movement, do yoga, go for a walk. So I was like, all right, I preach all this. So like, let's try it. And then I'm like, and then it worked. And I think that's the hardest part is like, if it doesn't, you know, for me, meditation, I did start trying to do like mindfulness meditation. Like I had an app and I would try to listen to some before bed and it was okay. Like my mind would just kind of wander and wasn't really, you know, doing it. And I think what I really liked was like at the beginning that like ending in Shavasana, like after like doing something really hard and like, you know, pushing your body and then the rest, it was like, oh, this is like way like easier to get into because I'm not just like, I want to move around and like, and then it was really fun to also like see the different teachers and the different styles. Like earlier on, I went to a Mary Beth class and I remember because we were in Shavasana and you said, you're like, you can move if you want to. You said something like that. Like, and I was like, no, we can't. We're not allowed to move. Like, you know, like Joyce and James say, like
often a slow flow class and or a Shavasana can be very difficult for somebody super driven, super type A, whatever. And wanting Shavasana to be comfortable, if a little fidget or sway is what is relaxing for you, then that's, you know, that's what I always think you should do. So sometimes I say that if I see somebody struggling, like they're laying in Shavasana, but their fingers and toes are so stressed and their body's like held rigid. And I'm like, well, this is not relaxing. So go ahead and let yourself fidget or whatever it is you need to do to relax. It's like telling somebody we've talked about before who's had a heart attack or something, like you need to relax. So you need to stay in bed and not work. And you're just about to give them another heart attack because they cannot possibly not work in their head.
No.
So Lauren, while we're talking, I pulled up your attendance. You started on December 1st of 21. And between then and October 16th of 2022, because you started your teacher training October 19th, and I'm just kind of using that as a, like you did 128 classes. And then in teacher training, you were still practicing, obviously. But Lauren continued, like you practice all the time. So it's, this is like, I'm looking at your, just in the last, in this year, you probably have taken 50 classes in this calendar year. So like, I just love that. Mm-hmm. I love that you're practicing, you're teaching, you're like, it's just become part of your life now.
Right. And like, it's what, like, you know, the joke, like I would joke with Rachel, if like you're having a bad day, like, oh, do you not want to go to yoga? I'm like, no, I need to go to yoga. Like if right. I don't go to yoga, it's going to be a worse day. Like, and it doesn't always, like, you know, sometimes you go to yoga and you're like, all right. And I'm still not in a great mood. Like, you know, the yoga bliss wears off in like 5 minutes.
Right.
When I was working my old job, I remember I left, like, I would go at that time to like a lot of Joyce's, like 9:30, like in Strongsville class, you know, and it'd be like a nice 75-minute class, the start of your Monday, you know, like, all right, I can do this. And I'd get like a call from my boss and I'd be like, cool. Like just, you know, like felt like I didn't even do yoga. And I was like, ugh. But it, I mean, I still would notice, like I definitely noticed just, we talk a lot in like therapy and stuff about distress tolerance. And I think that was the big thing for me is that like, a lot of people struggle with, like, we struggle with like handling like difficult emotions, like, you know, not being able to get something done on time makes me really frustrated. And so then I ignore it because I'm frustrated because, oh, why would I want to do this? Like when I used to have to do a lot of notes for my old job, I just took me forever. I don't know. There was something about them. Took too long. And so I would just avoid it. Cause it was like, oh, you know, my boss would be like, it took you like 5 hours to do like four notes. And I'd be like,
Like the book report at the end of your yoga teacher training?
Yeah, kind of like that. So this is a theme, you know, as my therapist says, a theme.
You are, luckily for modern yoga, you are teaching as well. So since your experience has kind of been rolled into the same burrito of timing, how is your practice and your teaching, how are they different from each other? Or what are you finding as you explore? Because that's people who have a long time practice and then become a teacher sometimes struggle with that. Like, I don't want to lose my practice by having the teacher mindset. So yours is a little closer in proximity. How does that feel?
Yeah, I mean, I really like it. Like, I think I've joked sometimes about like, oh, I'm gonna go to a class before. And I think Joyce, you're like, okay, maybe just like, you know, make sure that's a, you know, have like a yoga brain and then you start to teach and you can't like, fair. Maybe we'll go after. Interesting.
It works differently for everybody.
Right. No, it was like, I'm going to wake up at 6 a.m. and go to yoga for the first time and then teach a class. Like probably not like the best trajectory of ideas. So I much prefer, I think I went to like Susie's class afterwards. And I was like, oh, that was nice. So yeah, I think, I mean, I really like practicing and I think it's so different from teaching and it's really fun. Like for me, I really like to just buy into the whole, like when you're taking class, like you're taking class, like, all right, I gave this 60 minutes to practice. Like I struggle a lot to practice at home. Like I have a whole cute setup upstairs and I still barely practice. I bought an inversion chair. I have a meditation cushion, like, you know, I have a little meditation, like mat. I have it all and I use it a little bit, but like, for me, it's a lot of practicing in studio and it's just, you know, maybe it's part of the, like, you know, someone else leading it, like the accountability, the, like, you know, you've got to start it. Like if I tell myself, all right, 8 o'clock, we'll do some yoga when 8:15 comes, like.
And back to your point about the three places or spaces, you know, you've already got home and work together. It probably does help to go out of that environment for your yoga practice.
Yeah, 100%. I think so. It is really nice to have a place to do it. So it's been like, I won't say easy, but it's been really nice to always frame like practicing is that like, oh, and now I get to practice. Like it's a completely different hat and a completely different thing. And it's like fun in that, like, you know, a lot of it is still new to me. So it's not like So like doing different sequences and stuff, or like, mm-hmm. you know, doing poses, like, you know, when teachers will like modify how we do cobra pose or something. I think something I struggle with is being a new teacher and someone who, like, you know, newer to practicing yoga, I feel like it's a lot of copying. And I think I feel really like weird and bad and inauthentic about that.
It's borrowing.
Like, borrowing. Okay. Yeah. I need better framework.
Let's face it. Most of these poses are like thousands of years old.
Right.
We've thrown different names at them. And yeah.
And whether it's songwriting or like anything, we borrow. I mean, nobody's the first person ever to have an idea except the person who is. So,
and we're not teaching yoga isn't creating yoga, right? It's like Mary Beth always, what do you say? Like we're like a vessel. So we're right. And so we're sharing this opportunity to have all these great experiences, right? But does it have to be, you know, drastically different than the last class that somebody took? No, actually, sometimes it's really nice to know where you're going so you can drop into your flow, you know? And so, but what made you decide to be a teacher?
So there's a skill called building mastery in DBT. And so I really like the idea of building mastery in something at first.
These are the most interesting notes I've ever taken.
So like, you know, I was like, well, if I do this thing, like I want to be able to do the thing. But also I think at the time too, I was so like, I've been doing like, you know, social work. I graduated in 2018. So we're about 5 years now. Therapy and therapeutic services, but like doing yoga and seeing like also my clients, I've had some clients who've had some really, really like amazing experiences with yoga. Like I have one girl, I hated that we couldn't get her back to the studio because it was like far away. And like, she would just tell me about like the really hands-on experience they got and like a very trauma-informed, like awesome thing. And so the more I started to learn about how important that stuff is and how like, you know, there's a lot of the, it's not new, but I guess like more popular science around therapy and stuff is how important movement is. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's trapped in the body, or like, you know, you can do talk therapy for years and years. You know, I have clients that come to me, like I've done cognitive behavioral therapy for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed much.
Here I am. Yeah.
And you one know, half pigeon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then you go to yoga class and you have a couple, like a good yoga class. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, like I would joke. I was like, I think doing yoga at the time did more for me than therapy was.
And like, it's so, therapy. It sounds so frou-frou, you know, oh, yeah. People are like, oh, the crystals and the essential oils and the trauma that's in your body. But
and you're chanting and doing weird stretches like Gumby and
like, oh, yeah, but right. Something about wringing yourself out like that. The breath, the movement, it does. I mean, it doesn't happen every time and it doesn't always work early on. It doesn't work for everybody, but you're right. There is something about purging stuff from your body. Well, mm-hmm. That sounded bad, but.
No. And just I work with a lot of people who, one of the things people experience, especially with like trauma is like, you know, like proprioception or just not having that, like, not really like disassociating from your body or not really like because of trauma or because of whatnot, like, you know, I have clients that like don't recognize their needs. You know, the joke with depression is like, you know, people who are depressed don't brush their teeth. Like, oh, that's gross. And it's like people with depression die by suicide. Like that's the, you know, right. That's a good day for some people. It's like, oh, I didn't brush my teeth, but I got out of bed and I went to work.
Didn't water my plants either, but yeah.
Right, right. The plants are dying. My white girlfriend waters them. I'm like, well, that's good. I'm glad someone's keeping them alive. But is she watering you too? Because, you know. So I think that really kind of spurred, like, as I learned more and more about that. And I mean, I'm a big believer of like, if I like say something in therapy, I want it to be something that I've done or something that I can like, you know, ascribe to. If I want to tell someone, yeah, you can do yoga, like, even if you've never done it, like, I would love to be able to, like, one of my like goals. And like, so we talk about like with ADHD, they call it like demand and like, so I work with a lot of people who are, we call it neurospicy, like neurodivergent. So like autism, ADHD, mm-hmm. A lot of people now, like a lot of.
Love that, neurospicy. Yeah, we're going to have good hashtags for this episode.
Right. We have a lot of clients who, especially clients assigned, we call it AFAB, so assigned female at birth. So they might not be identifying now as female, but who grew up as female, weren't diagnosed with autism because we like, oh, you didn't present like a boy, or like you learned to make eye contact, so you don't have autism, or, you know, like whatever, like you got good grades, Lauren.
There's a reason they call it a spectrum, right?
Exactly. And now, you know, we used to say like high functioning, and we don't like that because really it's just like, oh, you're able to function well in this society that's not designed for you. Good job. Like, here's your badge of honor for learning all these like coping skills. But yeah, so I work with a lot of clients like that. And so, you know, they've had these really difficult experiences. And so I would, you know, I want to be able to like teach them, or like, you know, make little videos and be like, see, like you can do yoga in your chair at office. Like you can spend 5 minutes and do yoga. Like, you know, Joyce got me onto the podcast. What is it? Bedtime stories to help you sleep.
Oh,
I can't remember. Oh, nothing much happens.
Nothing much happening.
Yeah. To help you sleep. And I have one client and he listens to it. Cause he's like really struggles with sleep. And I'm like, you know, that is a big thing. It's listening to something else. Because a lot of times your brain is not your friend, and your brain and your anxiety just like make scenarios up in your head. And they love to do that before bed, and that doesn't help anyone. So, you know, yoga is really cool because you get this time to practice all these little bits and put it together. Like, you know, I think one of the first things I notice, like when it comes like to stress tolerance, is like, you know, obviously you can always come out of a pose if it's too much, but like having those times where it's like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to stay in this plank pose until
two more seconds.
Takes us out of it. Like I'm going to do this time. And it feels good. And you also know too, because it's like, you know, I think Joyce, we were talking once, I think in teacher training, about like, oh, times you cry in class, you know, like hip openers. And I'm definitely like a words person. So it's like someone will say the right word. Like Joyce talked about the mat being a safe place once. And it was like the beginning of class. And I was like,
it's like, it's like a finish line, but it's a private moment. So you can, if you did hold a plank off your knees, maybe for two more seconds, nobody else knows or cares, but for you, it's like a freaking finish line moment privately. And that just leads to the next
and best that's, thing. Actually, that's a beautiful way of like kind of exploring the perspective of like, this is a group class that where you have this, these private experiences, and you respect and recognize that other people in the class are maybe having their own private experiences too. And like, you're doing this together, and there's just like this trust and support of, and you don't necessarily get that at home. Like a home practice is awesome. And I, you know, I have a lot of respect for people who can have the discipline to like do it every day from home, but I feel like it's, there's just so much more power in, and I don't mean power in like a power yoga kind of way, but there's just when you're in a room full of people, like sometimes I'll say the one thing we all know we have in common is that we breathe. And so let's do that together, you know, like, and so now there's just connection. You don't feel so alone or unique. And I'm not saying this in a bad way, but like, you just become part of a community, and it's not, it doesn't have to be a book club or a softball team. It's just you're breathing and moving.
Still very private, but you do feel that invisible support. And you and I've talked before about how sometimes that's a palpable difference on a different day. Like the people in the room matter, even if nothing is said.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. And that's co-regulation. And a lot of adults, especially like when you talk like pandemic or people living alone, you don't have those opportunities to co-regulate and to just be in a space with other people who are doing the same thing. And like scientifically, that's really important. And like little kids need co-regulation. That's why little kids, when they cry, they come up, you know, and like, kiss my boo-boo. Like, you know, we teach that to kids. Then you get a certain age and then we're like, oh, you can't like, you know, hug your friends, or you can't like, you know, like can't give your friend a kiss like on the cheek. Like,
and when we joked before about somebody with depression not watering their plants, and they said, well, it's okay, my friend is watering the plants. And you said, but are they watering you too? I took a note on that. I think that's such a lovely way to think of it, that we have to water each other.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be big and dramatic, but we have to, Joyce, stop whatever you're thinking.
I'm just thinking this is in your head and it's going to come out somehow. in class.
I just love the way that image of, you know, we have to water each other. You don't have to do big dramatic things. That little bit of support in the room is like watering each other when you can't water yourself.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
This instance reminds me of years ago, Lauren, Mary Beth sent a little photo of a little blurb in Yoga Journal that talked about flowering Uranus.
Oh, yeah.
I put it on our Facebook teachers page that we share. That's, on.
Yeah.
But and I was like, seriously?
All I kept thinking was, this is in her head now. And it's going to come out of her mouth in class.
We're going to have a Google review with this. In the
also, let me take a little detour here that will only take a moment. But I think we've talked before about how I thought I was one of very few people that hadn't watched The Outlander.
I haven't seen it.
Neither of you have. Okay. So I don't feel so bad, but super popular, years old now, seasons old, might even be over. I don't know. So I started watching it, and it's a time travel thing. This British woman ends up in, you know, I don't know, 16th century Scotland or something. Lot of shit goes down, hot guys with their shirts off and kilts. But anyway, it's like soft porn. I had no idea. No wonder it's popular. People want to pretend it's the story. It's the time travel. Craig Nadoon. No. I don't know. Something about the flowering of the anus made me think of a nude man's butt. And now we can move on.
We digress to The Outlander?
Yeah.
All right. And we're back.
If you haven't watched Outlander, the reason you want to watch it is if you want to see some steamy, hot stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I'm going to write that down right under neurospicy.
Yeah. Neurospicy was another good phrase to coin.
Actually, I Googled it. It's pretty interesting. It encompasses conditions such as autism spectrum disorders, dyslexia, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder.
When you were talking about the people that you work with, Lauren, that have some of these things, like life feels hard enough for the rest of us.
Right.
Like it's hard enough for the rest of us to brush our teeth, and we have grief and we have aggravation and all the things. And we don't have, many of us don't have these burdens of diagnosable or not diagnosable issues like that, that might make life all the harder. And you just said high functioning, because without some coping skills, you really can't function in the world the way it is set up to function.
But I don't think she's talking about like people that we, I'm saying this generally, don't know. I think these are
mm-hmm. Right. Among us. I think I have a lot of clients, again, with like who, and I can't diagnose ADHD or autism. That's like a doctoral level, like psychological difference.
Oh, you can. Testing. You know it. You can.
Mm-hmm. But like, I mean, that's officially, the thing.
Yeah.
There's a book. There's the diagnostic statistical, the DSM. There's like all these like funny memes about it. Like, look, a book of our family history, the DSM. But so I can read the book and you can read the book, and like, you know, you can look through these symptoms and you can say, well, I, you know, struggle with concentration and I struggle with this. And so like, I can't diagnose it, but I have a lot of clients that will come and they'll be like, I'm pretty sure I have autism. And I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And when you're older too, I don't want to say there's no use in, but there's not as much benefit in getting a diagnosis.
Right.
So you're already out of school. Like, I think it can help, and it can help kind of point you in a direction of like what's going to be helpful. Cause like a big thing is, you know, we talk about grounding and, you know, anxiety. That doesn't work if you're overstimulated. If you're overstimulated by all the noises and everything happening, sitting and focusing on something is not what's going to help. So if you're a therapist and you're like, oh, that's anxiety, you're anxious, and just sit down and, you know, breathe. And you're like, this isn't helping. Yeah. So we have a lot of,
There are so many people, whether it's mental or physical issues, they just say, my doctor told me to try yoga with no other instruction. And we're like, okay, which road are we going down here?
Right.
It's not a magic wand, but it is.
Right. And you have to try. And like, you know, that's why I think, you know, again, what initially I wasn't even, I think Joyce, I think you're kind of hinting at, like, initially I wasn't really sure if I even wanted to teach. I just kind of wanted to do like teacher right. training to be like, I'm a teacher. And I think the idea was like at the time, you know, I was working in the nonprofit world. I was like, I'd love to like teach teens yoga. And like, I used to love running groups and stuff. And teens are my favorite to work with because they're terrible. And they like say, fuck you, Miss Lauren. And it's like, oh, thanks.
You know, fuck you too. Fuck you very much.
Thanks for calling me Miss Lauren. That's so respectful. You know, like really like that. But like, again, seeing the impact it can have and like knowing how helpful it could be for, I think what really started to draw me and again, draw me to wanting to teach others is, well, like we just were talking about, like, you know, it's different to practice at home, but it is something that you have access to. Like in something yeah. that you can do. And I think that's very powerful. And I think, you know, for a lot of people who are, you know, taking antidepressants and stuff, a lot feels out of your control. You know, you go and talk to a doctor and like, how are your symptoms? Better? Like, you know, I brushed my teeth. Like, you right. know, like, we have metrics and stuff, but like having access to things like yoga and, you know, going to yoga classes and learning, you know, it's really, you know, it'd be fun. Sometimes we'll do a pose maybe you've never done. You're like, oh my gosh, that feels amazing on my back. Or like, I know Joyce, whenever you take out the tennis ball, someone's always like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. tennis ball. You know, like
I never knew.
I love the straps. I think when you guys do the straps and it was like, you know, you feel like your one leg is longer than the other. And I was like, oh my gosh, like it does. Like, you know, and it just
let's
like
do the
it,
other side.
Right. Like it feels something. And I think that's hard. And that's why, you know, like when you say when someone just comes in, like my doctor said, do yoga. It's like, you know, you kind of have to give them an array because like you never know what's going to be that thing. That's like, oh, like
yeah, what's going to
flow flow class. And a guy was like, oh, those are like the what was it? Like my doctor's PT recommendations. Like that's the stretches I was supposed to be doing in PT. Yeah, right.
You know? Well, actually, and it gets hard for us sometimes. And Mary Beth, I think you'll remember this woman, but a woman called, this was years ago. And she said her doctor told her to, that she would benefit from a yoga practice. Now, and I appreciate that, but like doctors, again, don't, you know, they're not saying you might like a gentle yoga class or and they don't need to be yoga experts, but we had an older woman who had never done yoga and wasn't physically active, determined to do yoga because her doctor recommended it. And the only time that worked for her was 6:30 hot power. And she came to your class, Mary Beth, I think in slacks. And like, I tried to say like, maybe try a weekend class. So, and it wasn't that you can't take hot power as your first class. I just want to set people up for success. You know, I want them to have a good first experience that where they want to come back because it's
yeah, if you're not physically active, that is quite a world
to be very intimidating yourself. And you don't know how to navigate
and physically like, difficult
taking care of yourself. Like she could have stayed in child's pose, but she mm-hmm. doesn't know that as a brand new student
know that.
Or yeah. like you might've said it in class, but like, she's not going to do that at this sort of first time.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah. And we get that a lot, or we'll get that with, you know, people recovering from injuries or after surgery. And, you know, the doctor, if they're, you know, they do some like hardcore workout, he or she might be like, you might want to start with yoga. And then there's a lot to deal with, you know, a lot to consider. And it puts a lot of the responsibility on the student, which is okay, because you, like we all understand that as seasoned yoga practitioners, right? But as a very first time person, it just gets like I like to clear that muddy water, you know, where it's like, yes, this can benefit you, but why don't you start here if possible, you know, or maybe a private lesson, or like, let's teach you how to navigate this. Yeah. But Lauren, you said something to me. Or you said something, I think it was actually in teacher training once, that kind of cracked me up. It was in December and you were coming to training a little less often than you kind of came to everything. And then you were like a little bit spottier than normal. I'm like, is everything okay? And Lauren goes, listen, the holidays are like the Super Bowl for therapists.
People need it. They're going to see their families.
And actually, that was what she said was, oh my God, I have my parents.
Yeah. Right. You got to go back home, you know, like, a lot. Oh, it's hard for so many people. And like, it's fun, but also, and then holidays, as you get older, you know, people die and then it's sad.
Yeah. Emotions.
People are like, oh, we miss, you know, whatever. And you're like, oh my gosh. So yeah.
It's hot. I don't love holidays at all as a grown up. I just don't. I'd rather just skip over them. There's so much pressure and.
Oh, that's right. You were very grumpy. You were surly.
I was surly the whole time.
In the holiday season. Mm-hmm. Well, Lauren, thank you for joining the podcast. Yeah, it was very nice to talk to you, spend some time with you on Zoom, get to know you a little better. You're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, I was going to say, it always goes so fast. Are there things that we wanted to talk about that we didn't get to? Was there anything on your mind that you hoped to impart to our vast international audience?
I don't think so.
Maybe we should refer to our audience as global.
Global.
What's the difference? Global versus international. Just
like the pandemic.
Like what?
Like the pandemic. Global. Global. All over. All of y'all.
What does the Modern Yoga podcast and the pandemic have in common?
Probably a lot.
Neurospicy and global.
Yes.
And water your friends, people.
Yeah.
Make sure your friends are watered.
That's a good name for a podcast.
Yeah.
This is where we really digress, Lauren. We just...
We're going to get some spinoffs.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. We can have
every guest convince them to make their own podcasts.
Yeah, we could have a whole empire.
It could be like multi-level marketing, but that's not the right word. The pyramid scheme of
MLMs. Yeah,
pyramid. I always call that circular marketing because you're just inviting the same people to the same shit and you all have to buy the same shit from each other again.
Circular marketing.
Well, I've been staying after my Brecksville class. I've been staying for the Yin Sauna. And the one night I could not stay was when Lauren was teaching. So I'm so disappointed about that. And I can't wait to be in one of your classes soon.
Lauren doesn't teach Yin. Not yet.
Didn't you stay for one?
Yeah,
I mean,
didn't you
sub one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I really thought you were subbing that night. The week before Carrie. Because I was there for Carrie's. And I was there for James.
No, wasn't
don't
me.
They switch?
They do.
Yeah, sometimes.
I really thought you were subbing that night. Didn't I say something to you? Like, I wish I could stay, but I have to go.
Yeah. And I think
you're probably like, what
confused,
the hell?
And I was like, oh, yeah, it's fun to stay.
I've confused you a time or two, I'm sure. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, yeah, it's nice to stay, but, you know, we all got things.
Have a nice day, MB. Thanks,
like,
thanks for the update.
Right. Like, I'll mark that down.
Yeah, thanks.
Good to know.
I'm not in charge of attendance, but thank you anyway.
I can hit the iPad like all of us.
Oh, I don't think Mary Beth is checking into all of her classes.
No? Did I not check in last night?
You're not going to win the Warrior Challenge, Mary Beth.
I'm so not.
I mean, technically, I won the Warrior Challenge 2022.
Nice.
It wasn't a Warrior Challenge.
The year that we didn't have the challenge, yeah.
No, we had
it. Certainly.
We calculated points. There's the app. There's winners. I don't know how I got points. I don't know what the prize is.
We'll get back
coveted,
to you on
the coveted Modern Yoga t-shirt, as James keeps saying. Got to include that word.
The coveted. What is the, wait, I do have a question. Is that the Morning Warrior t-shirt or is that different?
No, that was the OG.
Yeah, we used to have a Morning Warrior challenge, which classes up to and including noon counted for the morning population. But now it's all classes.
Yeah.
And people are in it, man, like a horse race. I can't tell you how many people I'm here. Who is Mary B? Which is not Mary Beth, by the way, but it's another lady whose first name is Mary. And people are checking and they're like, I want to catch her.
Yeah. Anyway. Unfortunately, she's under the weather a little bit, but I think she's making her comeback. She's, I love her and she's really funny. Well, this was funny. She like jumped into the Warrior Challenge and she's staying for like two classes, three classes, you know, she'll come in the morning and she'll come at night. And I'm like, you trying to win the contest? She goes, I hate my family right now. So this is perfect timing.
As back to your point about the holidays, right?
Yeah.
And your family.
I mean,
what I love.
They're tied for first, Tiffany and Mary.
Yeah. Ooh. And Tiffany took three classes yesterday.
Yeah.
Josh is a close third.
What I love is both the Morning Warrior Challenge of years ago. We had Holly. We had, who's our golfer that moved to Florida?
Claire. She's in like South Carolina or where? Okay. Where's Charlotte? She's in the Charlotte area.
North Carolina. All of these people that are, not all of them, but a lot of them that are up front are not your young super athlete. They're older. We've got a stage three cancer survivor in there in the mix. They're middle-aged, coming to yoga for the right reasons, and they're in front of the pack. I love that.
Yeah. Definitely. For sure. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah, we'll have more contests. So I think part of the confusion, Lauren, to just figure this out on the podcast is the way that Wellness Living tracks points and what it converted from Mind Body. And I don't think you were with us during Mind Body. Yeah, no, we're victims of software.
Because sometimes it gives like Rachel points when I like started teacher training because she referred me. It was like someone bought something. Excellent. Here's your free points.
Yeah, hell of a deal. Right there.
No, and that's okay. We just needed to kind of get a grip on like how that all worked. And we're always juggling so many things that what is presented to us as being really easy and this contest will run itself and, you know, whatever doesn't always work that way. And then you have to dig in and figure lots of things out. but it's all good. We figure lots of things out. But yeah, so you will definitely have to be a guest again because we certainly can talk to you forever.
Yeah.
And
be fun.
Yeah. And Mary Beth's about to depart on her birthday trip. So we'll try to squeeze in a couple of podcasts, put them in the can before.
Yeah. People have been asking. So we do need to get a couple in the can.
Yeah. And so Lauren, right now you are teaching Power Basics in Brecksville on Tuesday mornings at 9:30, and you're teaching Slow Flow in Brecksville at 5 p.m. on Thursday. Well, I said that Thursday evening. So come meet Lauren, come take her class if you haven't already. And I think we'll call it a day.
Sounds great. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your morning.
You
too. Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
We're done.